Radiance by Design. That's what you're doing, and that's what I'm doing, designing our radiance. And woohoo, the universe, oh my gosh. Apparently the great central sun, there's a lot of connections out there that are sending a much higher frequency down through. It's not a frequency, it's frequencies that can come through and absolutely twirl us so that we can be higher in consciousness than we've ever been before. We're more magical, we can make changes, we can manifest more quickly than ever before. So you might say, well, then why am I not manifesting everything I want? And that's why you're going to call into this show, because I want you to call in and tell me what you're trying to create in your world and how is it going. Tonight, ostensibly, I'm talking about death. But as you know and I know, it's something that we're all going to experience. And actually, if we work it well, we can raise our fields and frequency by dying to our identity over and over and over again in this life. And as the frequencies pick up speed, oh my goodness, as they pick up speed and as we die to how we have identified ourselves, I don't mean quit your job and run out screaming. I mean, look for your, what is the classic spiritual line is? Look for your attachments and your aversions and see how much of your identity is wound up in those. And as the frequencies pick up speed and move on through, you get clearer and clearer from that. And what's really you begins to be more of a presence. Yeah, I think that's a good way to start. We're going to do a meditation, a collective meditation. And I really want you to call in tonight. Let's talk about death, working with people who are dying, experiencing people dying, talking to people on the other side. How can we prepare? I was just reading the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, and I'm really enjoying it. I've had it for years. I haven't really read it. You ever have books like that? In any case, I love it. It is so darn good. And I've known from other things I've read and from what my guides and angels tell me and what my inner self tells me is that we should be dying to our lives over and over again, meaning giving up again the same thing, giving up your identity, your attachments, and aversions and so on, because everybody dies, and as we've built in a series of incarnations in our soul's journey, right, and the shift from one incarnation to the other, we call death, right, and it's something you've done, and I've done more than once, who knows how many times, more than maybe a bazillion times, more than seven times. People like Grunvalo say he's done only one of them. I don't know. I go, well, that sounds really good, but I think I've done a bunch. I think you probably have. So we're all really terrified of dying, and people really fight it hard because the survival instinct is very, very strong in us. That's what keeps us going, isn't it? But on the other hand, the more you understand that life is very impermanent, the impermanence of life, the easier it is, apparently, for us to slip through from one incarnation to another. I really recommend the book, The Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, but several of you, a number of you actually, heard my interview with Lonnie Leary, I think it was 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday night, and she wrote a book called No One Has to Die Alone. And it's wonderful. It's a whole experience of not just one experience, but many people's perspectives on what it's like to face your dying, to release a lot that's inside of you so that you're always kind of clean as a whistle. Clean up your relationships as you go through so you're not having a whole bunch of hangers-on and a lot of karma. And also helping people die, like being with them. And I know a number of you listening to this show do that kind of work. I'm really hoping that you'll call in about that and any other darn thing you want to talk about. So let's do our collective meditation. I love to do this meditation. I love to do this meditation. It's one of the reasons I like all of us to do it together is because we vibrate in unison, or we vibrate together when we meditate together like this. And because we don't know where we all are, it's a wonderful thing. There's no time and space when you're on the internet, except you do have to tune in at the right time. And then we can be meditating together in every place in the world. Isn't that something? Talk about oneness. So let's do our meditation together.
Are y'all ready?
And this is a meditation. This is funny. I was given a little card. I got involved in the Oneness Blessing Group from Chennai, India. I'm a Bhagavan. I think I've told you guys that in my constant exploration for spiritual understanding, there's always a new level, and this one is just really infectious because it's going like wildfire around the world. Anyway, the thing that happened recently is I was given a nice little meditation card and told that if I stare at the copper square on this little meditation card, which is etched with, I thought it was a yantra. They didn't really look at it. Lost the card for a month. Found the card again. And I was sitting staring at it meditating the other day, and lo and behold, the picture on it, the etching on it, is the same as the structures that you and I do very often, except it's not 3D. But I was just blown away. I went, oh my goodness, what the guides have taught us is really good. And it really helps you to get peaceful, to connect with many, many people. And also, it's an area in which we go into the Galactic Healing Center and we do our manifestation, and it really amps things up. It's like creating our own little workshop everywhere we go. So join me in this. Let's do it together. Now, above your head, about 2 miles, create a golden ball. And below your spine, about 20 feet or 40 feet, another golden ball. And let's drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your spine and into the lower golden ball. Now, from the upper golden ball down to about waist height, drop a four-sided pyramid. And then upside down, a four-sided pyramid. Now, somebody said to me, I don't really follow your descriptions of how these structures work, so I'm going to re-explain it. So you drop a four-sided gold pyramid from the upper golden ball to about waist height, push it away from your body, maybe 40 or 60 feet. Okay, so now you've got a four-sided pyramid. Now, upside down, we have the same thing, a four-sided pyramid. And its point goes into the lower golden ball. Now, this person is a student of Drunvalo, and a lot of us have done the Drunvalo Merkaba exercises, breathing exercises. I haven't done his for years. But in any case, the problem here is that he's got a slightly different arrangement. We will follow his Merkaba arrangement for the inner part of the structure. The outside is a four-sided pyramid pointing up and a four-sided pyramid pointing down. When they hitch together at their bases, then you've got yourself an eight-sided diamond. Got that? We call it an octahedron. You've got it. Yeah, you can scratch your head if you want. And now we got a crystal ball inside of that. The outside edges of the crystal ball touch the inside edges of our octahedron. And now here comes the Merkaba. And the Merkaba is, I was describing it simplistically as a three-sided Star of David, or a three-dimensional Star of David. The reality is, when Drunvalo and various others express it, they talk about the Merkaba as being a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. You can use the image a three-dimensional Star of David, if you like. But anyway, three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And then when you push them together, they overlap. They intersect about a third of the way down. And then the idea that he has is that I think the top pyramid you spin in a clockwise direction and the bottom pyramid you spin in an anti-clockwise direction. And I think the top is the feminine and the bottom is the masculine. Oh, I might have it wrong. But when you call me, you can tell me, you can correct this. Human and spirit. Well, Drunvalo teaches it's feminine and masculine. Okay. Bob's saying it's human and spirit, but I know. Okay. We'll see if that's what I think what I'm trying to catch up with another teaching. But we'll see. Bob's saying it's human going up and spirit coming down, which makes incredible sense. But I think the back to the Drumvilla one, he does talk about the masculine and feminine. So maybe somebody can correct that for me, or I'll get on to Google it. And then he spins them in two different directions, the top and the bottom. But in my stuff, I've just said spin it, right? So you can tell me how that works for you. For me, it's when I say spin it, and I spin it and spin it, I trust my higher self, my guides and angels, to spin it right. And I do know this, that my body spins and spins and spins. I can feel it inside. So I'm sitting in a nice big recliner chair, looking out at the beach, and inside myself, I feel like I'm spinning. Centrifugal force is amazing. Okay? So let me know how that works for you. But in any case, so right now we're spinning and spinning and spinning. And as we do, whether you're spinning the top one way and the bottom the other, as we spin and spin and spin and spin, in front of you, you've got this stable, because remember we're magical, screen. And on that screen, we're going to print some movies, some wonderful movies. The first one is our dream for what we want to become. Oh! Mine is starting to happen, I think. What I want to become is multidimensional, consciously multidimensional, coming from the heart. Good. And what is it you want to become? And I see myself becoming this, and I'm smiling. I can feel it. I can feel it running through my body. Wrap that in light. When you get the feeling of what it is you're trying to achieve, wrap it in light, move it over to the side. And the second movie is you creating something you really want to create. It can be a home and family. It can be a traveling. It can be a book, a movie, a hairdo, whatever it is you're wanting to create. Something huge, world program for peace. Doesn't matter. See all the resources coming to help you create this project. All the resources are coming together. People, places, things. Time, the location. Good. And as it develops itself, woo, you see all the pieces coming together, and the next thing you know, yeah, it's successful. And now what you want to do is cheer yourself on, woohoo, and then you want to see all the resources, the money, the people, and the places to sustain your project, to keep it going and growing and evolving. I see it with gratitude. Woo, thank you. Wrap that in light, and then the next one is the Galactic Healing Center. And the Galactic Healing Center, we see our healing table, a beautiful healing table, and it's surrounded by a ring of beings. They come from your own healing team, right? What do your ring of beings look like? Wow. And then as we'll bring in the first person, who's you? You come in, you're the first one to lie on the table. And you can either ask those beings for specific help, or you can ask them what it is you need right now. So I see myself lying on the table. Excellent. Wonderful. And then they do their work, their magical work, to help you get to what it is you want. Or what you're looking for, or what kind of healing you need right now. Good. And you feel like it's going pretty well, wrap it in light, move it over to the side. And remember, your team is magical. They can replicate themselves around a fresh healing table. And in you bring someone. And I'm bringing someone I've brought in several times. She's very, very heavy, and she has deteriorating discs. She's in constant pain. And also, her life is just horrible. And what we want to do is see that incredible grief and weighted down. Yeah. So I'm just letting them work on her. Who are you working on? Yeah. Who are you working on? And now I see them working on her, and they're actually going through her spine, vertebrae by vertebrae, and rearranging them. And they're also talking to my friend, saying she needs to be clearer of her emotions, her emotional nature is causing a lot of her trouble. That's what they're saying to her. Disappointment, grief, victimization. Back into the whole deal. Who's on your table and what are you learning from them? And wrap that in light and move it over to the side. Now here's one that's an interesting kind of healing. This person is young, has had a lot of life experience, is an old soul, and is very much an indigo, has these flashes of purple light coming up in her. But she can't seem to get out of the cocoon of her own reactions, meaning cellular, karmic reaction. And so she's rerunning a frustration over and over again. I'm watching her and I'm laughing because I can see this purple light trying to emerge, which is more of the creative, inventive, I guess I'll call it psychic parts of her nature trying to come up. But she doesn't seem to know how to let go. And they're showing it in the second chakra and the third chakra and in the heart chakra and the throat. And all those areas are kind of held down. Mm-hmm. That's right. And so they're working on her and they're softening it. Ooh, good. And lifting her heart and her belly so that she has the courage to step forward. Good. And now, oops, I see the energy moving through her body beautifully. Who's on your table? Okay, now let's bring in, I know what, let's bring in the media. Okay, we're doing our political thing. Well, I'm not calling it political this time. I'm calling it the media. You and I are involved in the media this very minute, all together, hopefully conscious media, right? So let's bring in the media onto our table. And let's see, let's call in. Remember we said at the beginning this amazing great central sun, download these beautiful golden purple lights are coming down and they're being absorbed into the frequencies all around our planet. And let's see them roll through and rise through the base chakra and the perineum of all kinds of people involved in international media, global media, the motivations of people to lift. There you go. We're sending this energy up through all kinds of characters that are involved, the money moguls behind it. Because you and I know that there's, you know, I was thinking the other day how huge billboards have things like believe and miracles on them, even if they're selling soap, right? So it's like the consciousness of being able to create and being able to emerge as a conscious species who's unlimitable, that's coming through. It's even coming through our advertisers and so on. So let's see this infusion of consciousness, of win-win reality, coming up through a lot of the beings who are media owners. How's that? That's right. Famous people. I can feel it. The light's going way up through. And I just see it coming up through millions and millions of them all over the world. Yay! And now let's wrap that in light and see this golden light coming down in through the top of your head, down your head into your neck and your heart, spinning round and round, picking up a lot of the pink lights of harmony, going out through your hands and sending the light of harmony and love to all places in the world that you can think of where people are distressed, all the places where people are sick. We talk about death, where people are dying, where people are at war, where business is crooked, where the land is being raped, or people are being raped, or all of the above, and where the water, yeah. Let's just see all places in distress on the earth. Right, and just keep sending light to all these different places and love. And then wrap that light round and round and round our planet, round and round the planet, and have it come back up through your hands, up your arms, in through your heart, up through your neck and head, and whirl way up into the great central sun. Back down, shoot through your body, and go right into the core of the earth. Have it bounce back up into your body again. Now turn back and close off the Galactic Healing Center. Good. And then I'd like you to jump into your star tetrahedron or your Merkaba. Remember, with the top going one way and the bottom going the other. Oh, goody, you're on the air just in the nick of time. Now, welcome. Join me. And I was going to say, call in if you will. We have a caller. Good for you. Good timing. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, Veronica. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, hanging in. Thanks.
Who have
it's
I got?
Kim from Louisiana.
Oh, good. It's good to catch up with you, Kim.
Yeah, you too.
So what's up, girl?
I heard about the introduction, and I just wanted to share, I'm not real sure I believe it, but okay, so there's another call right on BBS Radio, and I think it's I'm working at Carolyn Evers and Richard.
Right.
Any.
Okay.
Okay. So they were channeling JFK,
okay.
And interestingly enough, it wasn't about politics. Okay, it was about 2012, and apparently he came to her in meditation, and actually, you know, I'm pretty open-minded about this stuff. But the thing that was really interesting, Veronica, which is this whole death thing, right? He said, as the channeled voice this last Saturday night or 2 weeks ago, but this weekend or last weekend, he said that by the end of the year, that most, if not all, or many of us would basically wake up one day and we would all remember all of our past lives, and that many of us would remember future lives, and that would be the thing that would shift the consciousness in the world, because that would be, I mean, essentially that would be it. That would be 20.
Well, what do you think?
I mean, I'm not sure I believe it, but I think it's pretty interesting.
Well,
it
here's what I think.
The world.
I do think that sometimes in a little less dramatic ways, we're bringing in higher and higher frequencies all the time. And I don't know about you, but to me and to a lot of my clients, I'm feeling kind of an unlimited presence some of the time, kind of getting glimpse of it, like we're not these little confined bodies of thought and feeling so much anymore, but we're being extricated from that trap. That's how I feel. Now, I don't know about 2012. I tend to be pretty cynical about when you give it a time and a calendar. I go, yeah, right. But I do believe that possibility. I believe that this is a time where we're being unlimited as a species. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the idea that we can... I don't want to spend too much time on my past lives anymore, thank you.
Yeah.
Been there, done that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do think the whole idea of being huge and being out of time and space is becoming more and more prevalent to a lot of people. And I hear that from lots of people, you know?
Yeah.
Not just from JFK.
Right.
But maybe from him. I don't know.
Yeah. It is something to think about. I think it would obviously transform the world. If everybody really knew who they were, absolutely it would transform the world. The implication is that you would recognize yourself and wake up to yourself as a multidimensional being, not just as somebody who had all these past lives. Well, obviously that would be the case, but...
Because I think that if you did wake up like that, Kim, I feel this, that you wouldn't be so worried about past lives. You would feel the infinite possibility of the now.
Yeah.
And that might sometimes direct us through past lives and so on, but mostly it would be infinite possibility, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And there's so many people showing up beyond the veil now. I can't believe how many conversations that I have in the normal course of the day. You know, all kinds of people wandering in and out from that side to this side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's and then, very exciting. And then,
yeah, it is. And then I know that you had, you know, you had your own personal kind of rash of death around you, and I had had other intuitives that I'd worked with and had said kind of the same thing maybe about 3 to 6 months ago. Well, and I remember telling you that in my experience it was almost like I had people in my life that were like miraculously healed, like almost miracles, you know, to death's door, and then, you know, the big step back. But I listened to a lot of internet radio, and there was some woman who was like yourself, and I don't know if she was intuitive, but she had a radio show. And one of her best friends, like, somehow did something like, it wasn't really connected to, like, this lifeline thing of, you know, you know, I've fallen and I can't get up, but it's something like that. But it was, she was somehow this body collector, and that's what she did for a living. And basically, in her experience, there was this rash of people who were in their early 30s and to early 40s who basically just died, and they didn't have any real understanding of what the cause of death was. Just, you know, it was like, oh, just they died. And that they basically couldn't believe that there was this rash of people that were dying for apparently no reason, and that why didn't the media or why wasn't anybody picking up that as a news story? But I think that's really interesting, as in it goes back to kind of what you were saying, that here's this window and there are a lot of people who are choosing to watch the show from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's very interesting. And the question of, you know, let's go back to the media. Why aren't certain things in the media? Because they're just not marketable, because the world isn't ready.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, I think the world probably is ready, but the market doesn't feel like the world's ready. How's that?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of really good news happening. Do you ever watch TED.com or any of those?
No, I'm one of those people that kind of, you know, gave up on it, you know, so I don't really...
On TED.com?
Maybe a little bit. No, I mean, I gave up on the news. I don't do the news at all. Like, I mean,
okay,
I get
okay,
it
but here
through...
you're listening to internet radio, and one of the reasons that I'm doing radio, and probably many of the other ones are, is because I used to get frustrated. I thought media should be interactive years and years ago, and it is this way, right? But also because
absolutely,
we're sending higher frequencies out there. It's not all like doom and gloom and misery, and all kinds of people are sending higher frequencies out there. And there's a lot of terrific, miraculous, good news coming through internet radio and alternate radio. And TED.com, for example, and Conscious Media Network and some of those different places are always sending out stories about people who are really going through some incredible odds. The odds seem against them, and then they do a miraculous recovery. You should check this one by, it's a woman named, TED.com is 18-minute talks, and Jill Bolte Taylor, who had her, remember who she was? She had a stroke at 37, and she was a
brain researcher.
Yeah. It's people like that who stand up, and they talk for about 20 minutes, 18 minutes, I think, to be exact. The woman I saw the other day I cried about, because she had been a biker, and she was in an incredible accident where everything went black. She hung around looking at her broken body for about 10 days before she reentered. And then when she did, she couldn't walk. She was paraplegic and so on. Ultimately, what happens is she goes through incredible changes and has some miraculous, I won't say how it turns out because it's wonderful, and you ought to see it. But there's a lot of news like that going out there. You watch them, and you feel so... It's like we're talking about the golden lights that are coming through. You feel really empowered, and I think we're able to pick up more healing capacity through that. You know? I think there's a lot out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think that.
Now, how's your life? You're a little bit lonely, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm optimistic that things are going to change really soon, like maybe in the next couple months.
Stay optimistic, honey. Something's going to go on. But
that's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to my friend on the phone last month, and he understood I needed closure, but he was very kind and very attentive and very interested. So I'm very optimistic. Yeah, it was very sweet. Yeah.
Aww. Well, you're going to have a wonderful time. I know it's going to be good. So thank you for your call, and I really look forward to talking to you again. And keep listening to Internet Radio. Maybe you should have your own show.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, Veronica, so I want to say one more thing about what JFK said. Now, whether I'm just going to throw this out there with a grain of salt, but Carolyn was very concerned about the election and very concerned about the, like, manipulation of computers and everything and all this. And he said, oh, no, don't worry about it at all, because there's going to be a consciousness shift, not connected with 2012, but a political consciousness shift by then that we're all going to be aware of enough that that we don't have to worry about it, that the good is going to prevail. There's not going to be any hanky-panky or any, you know what I mean, like any bad stuff. So that was kind of interesting to me, and I thought, well, hell, that's optimistic.
Well, I think I'd rather believe that. I'm not sure I do believe it, but I want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And a lot of us did like JFK. I mean, I think he's probably got a lot more wisdom than some of them, huh?
Yeah, I'd say...
Who did he say was going to win? Do you think you could share that with us, Kim?
You know what? I don't think JFK made a prediction, actually.
Darn.
I think he was very clear that there wouldn't be corruption scandal and there wouldn't be manipulation of the computers. I mean, he was very clear about that it would not be able to be hidden from us. That the consciousness shift would already be significant enough that it would be impossible. So I thought that was extremely optimistic, though. You know what I mean? I thought, yay! Like, that was empowering. Yay! So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say yay as well. I'm going to hang on to that, too. Because I think it's always, I think that it's like light does rise through the dark. So it doesn't matter how dark it gets, the light's rising, right? It's like heat and
absolutely.
Cold, right? And but the time frame, I'm not always sure about the time frame.
Yeah.
But I thought that some of the debate the other day was a lot more clarifying than politics sometimes is in my frame of reference. So maybe that's part of the consciousness shift there.
It might have been Janet's Planets. I don't remember exactly where I found the link. It might have been Rose Marcus Astrology. There was a really, really interesting astrological interpretation of Mitt Romney's chart, which is really, really interesting. Like, there's really interesting things about him that you might not know, like his dad is Latino, like from Mexico, and was originally homeless. And also that his mom was like this, you know, women's right advocate kind of politician. And all these things that should make him a really good dude, but then when you look at his stars, you're like, oh. Yeah, so it's a really interesting article. And
I don't think his dad was Latino. I thought his grandfather had to leave the country
maybe that was it.
Because polygamy was against the law, and he was a polygamist. And so they had to flee to Mexico, and then they came back during the revolution, and didn't have any money, so they went on welfare for a while. But
I don't think
they were Mexican.
Okay, I gotcha.
But
well,
anyway.
Some sort of claimage of Latino roots when they did in the Alma Awards, and I just thought it was throwaway first, and it was like a joke, and I'm like, okay, whatever. I didn't know.
Well, I don't really know either, and I don't really want to be pejorative with him, but I just really hope that you're right, or that JFK is right about the computers and so on. Cause that would be nice to know that the consciousness has moved that well.
Yeah, I think so, too. Thank you so much for talking, Veronica.
Well, it's great to talk to you. Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, have a blessed evening.
And you, too.
Thanks.
So what do you guys think about the election? What do you think about death? What do you think about consciousness in 2012? What do you think is happening in your world? Are you able to manifest better or worse? Yeah, let's get some perceptions going on. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. One of the things that I'm fascinated by is in this world, all we're talking about is consciousness, it seems, these days. And conscious dying is a really big deal. So talking to Lonnie Leary and her book, No One Has to Die Alone, reading the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, I'm fascinated by the fact that death includes our every moment here. For example, we're talking about politics. I'm going, yeah, I need to drop some of those, you know this and I know this. If we can raise our fields and frequencies, we have a much more healing impact on the entire collective than if we get out there and proselytize at the top of our lungs, right? So I think that there's a death in that, like inside of ourselves, and we have a huge opinion, and we're really adversarial about this, that, or the other thing. To drop that can pop us up to a higher frequency and radiate out there a feeling that's much more harmonious for everyone. And I think that's very, very infectious, very contagious. And what do you think about internet radio and television? Because I think it's really putting some terrific consciousness out into the world. It's making us feel, instead of being like, I'm an American and I keep the walls of America, being American around me, instead of that, we're getting much more global, aren't we? We're able to understand people in all kinds of different countries in huge locations, and time and space is a whole different thing. So that's kind of like a quantum leap or a huge death out of a certain way of being and into another. I find that really interesting. So what are you doing about the election, and how do you feel about it? Do you feel positive? What about the way the jobs and things are going as well? The same jobs that we used to look forward to don't necessarily exist anymore, partly because of the global influence of the internet and so on, that people are working in things that didn't exist when I was looking for work when I was young. So there's a kind of a death there, isn't it? And the death knell of certain civilizations is much faster than it's ever been before. And so how many of you, let's see here, how many people are, I'm going to take a look at some people here. All right, so there's there's an older man who's dying right now. And there's probably many older men that are dying right now, but in any case, we're looking at one of them, and he has several daughters around him, and he's very bitter. So, that's an interesting one for them to bring forward for me to look at. So as this fellow is dying, and there, one of his daughters, has got this wonderful harmonious light in her. And she's standing with him, and she's got courage. We're showing her, this guy is fighting it, hammer and tong. Oh, okay, there it is. And what we're watching is how his belly, his whole body is structured in such a way as it's holding against all of life. And she's just infusing this light in him and talking to him about, there it is. She's saying, you have a right to be bitter, Dad. You have a right. It's okay. It's okay. And she's managing to talk with him in such a way as to free his mind from what we could call kind of a craziness or an insanity. I don't understand this, but the way she's talking to him, his brain is freeing itself and letting go of what might be a terrible way. When you die, if you're really, really mad, and we see a lot of people on the other side, so if you're really, really angry and really shut down, when you pass, the chances are pretty good that on the other side, you're going to spend some time being very shut down and having to extricate yourself from that. If you're lucky, it might be a very short period of time. And what she's doing is working with him in such a way that two of her sisters or sister-in-law or something are really kind of timid and standing back, but this woman is standing there, and she's being very, very harmonious, and she's getting right in step with her father's resistances and with his bitterness. And as she does, I can see his brain releasing and relaxing. It's the funniest thing. It's not funny, ha-ha. It's just, it's kind of the reverse. She goes right in step with his bitterness instead of saying, "No, Dad, it wasn't that bad." She's saying, "Yeah, you have every right." And it gives him a certain kind of relaxation. It's quite interesting. And I'm seeing him relax, and then the substructure in his belly and his upper thighs suddenly just released, and he's getting much easier about going through. Because as you and I know, it is a process. We're just going to send them light and let them carry on. But I think that she just showed us a very wonderful way of helping a person release into passing. Because as we know, it is a moving through kind of thing. It's like we live in this really interesting cocoon of reactions. And all through our body, every organ has got its specialty, doesn't it? Every one of your organs and limbs holds certain subjects, you know, stuff that you've been through. If it's about your heart and your arms really come to, like if your heart is really afflicted and holding back and is very cold, not that you, most of you don't have cold hearts, but you know what I mean? Our hearts can get cold in a moment when we're in a thing. Then you look at your arms and your arms will be kind of numb. Or sometimes your arms will be tingling, and that's because your heart is shifting how it's afraid of holding love or anything to do with love that's in the state of change or a state of vulnerability because it can't decide how to be anymore. That will make your arms all fuzzy and buzzy and weird. Or if you just feel like I can't really love right now and you just kind of go numb, your arms will go kind of dead. So it's very interesting to watch our bodies give up because we're literally going through. We're trying to extricate ourselves. But you and I know that sometimes you go through and you've got all kinds of karmic stuff. So you're a beautiful, beautiful little baby eventually. And then you've got all this grief. Good grief. Baby's like 3 days old and it's got grief. Well, that's because we carted along with it, isn't it? Or we also could have taken it on from our parents. So let's take a look at someone else. I want you to call in, so I'm not just doing all this talk. But otherwise, I'm just going to go and look, see who I want to talk to this time. Now, here's something interesting. Here's a woman who's really well-dressed. She's well-placed in the world, and she's American. I think she's in she's a kind of a CEO of a corporate. She's quite sick, and she's not telling anybody that. She's presenting herself beautifully. She's teaching. She's giving a talk. She's got a PowerPoint. She's got a whole bunch of things going on. I believe she's got a very severe illness on the, I think, left side of the body, all the way down. Probably the pancreas and the left hip. Anyway, she's got something boiling in there, and she's not going to last very long, but most people don't know that. And she's really trying to hold herself together. And I want to say to her, okay, so there's a problem here, and we're going to send her light. We're going to put her in one of the structures, and we're going to spin it. And it won't hurt her, but we're going to help her with this, because what she's doing is holding her image together really well. She's holding the structure of her success in the world together really well. And yet when she slips away, she's going to go really fast. I'm going, she's also a really good soul, but she's very rigid about how she feels. And so we're spinning her and spinning her and spinning her, asking her higher self and her guides and angels, and we're sending her some light so she can actually feel her own vulnerability. She can feel the relief from the forgiveness that she needs to send to both her mother and her daughter. In both cases, she needs to send a lot of forgiveness so she doesn't cart all that with her. See, what we're doing here is we're unraveling and unhooking, helping her die to certain aspects of relationship. So when she goes through, she'll go really fast. She's got a fortunate passing, meaning it will go really fast and people linger a lot longer. But she has full capacity to take with her the alienation from how can I put this? The feminine lineage. She's got some alienation in the feminine lineage. And what we're doing is sending light so she can feel that and feel the forgiveness and feel the freedom from the tethers of those other women, the mother and the daughter, probably the grandmother. And there she is up there giving her PowerPoint, but she's getting much softer inside. It doesn't take much to really encourage that softening in one another. But it doesn't take denial. Denial's not going to work, right? So let's wrap her in light and send her off spinning in the structure. That's right. And what's it going to take? Now let me see. We're going to look at another one. Okay, I'm seeing here. Oh, here's something that Kim was talking about. There are a number of people, because there's a big change going on, and something we've learned is that there are streams of consciousness, streams of light, streams of very incredible love on the other side that are built by or made up by people who are awake when they go through. Not the people that are struggling when they go through or the people that are suppressed when they go through, because what they do, they don't mean to, but they create a stream of rather conflicted or defended energy going around, and you can get caught in that. You know, it's like the effluent of a car or something, and you can get caught in that for a while, and it can create your thinking. But then just beyond that, there are these really beautiful streams of light and consciousness, and there are a lot of, you know, ascended beings and spirit guides and so on. And there's also the connection that we can make to our universal, unfoldable, infinite selves, right? So when Kim was talking about how there are people who are suddenly just leaving the planet so that they can participate from the other side. And they're very much involved in that. From what I can see, I'm seeing that they're very much involved in creating those streams of conscious energy that go around the world. And then back to you and I, it's really helpful to be in touch with our higher selves and to consciously call in those higher fields and frequencies so that the people, so that we can not hitch a ride, but be prompted to evolve and make really rapid changes. It's like they become electrodes. So it's like we do actually work hand in hand, hand in glove, mind in mind with a lot of the beings that have chosen to be on, not just the ones that are choosing to leave so they can participate on the other side, ones through the millennium that have been growing and radiating from the other side, and others who want to join those so that we can make this huge transition. I don't know if we're going to do it in December the 21st. I'm kind of cynical about that. My cheeky way of saying it is if it takes 26,000 years for us to download this huge consciousness shift, it's probably not going to pivot to a change on one day. But I could be wrong. I mean, my gosh, there's magic out there. And if there is no time and space, well, maybe it doesn't really matter which day it is. So now I've been talking about death and any other thing, and you haven't been calling in. You still have time to do that, if you will. But I want to say that my last interview wasn't well enough publicized, so I want to rerun it on Tuesday night. We're going to have the interview of Indigo Eye, and it's by Tara Taylor and Lorna Nicholson, and it's a wonderful fictionalized version of what it's like for a teenager. This is a fictionalized story about a teenager who is awakening to be being a psychic. Excuse my dog, he's going bananas there. And the story is really good. A lot of you out there are intuitives. I certainly am. And it's quite difficult to be very different and to be awakening into who you really are, which is not necessarily conventionally suitable. So the story is quite a good fictionalized version of that. And these two are great. Tara is herself an intuitive, and it's based on her story, but it's been fictionalized quite a bit. And I really enjoyed them. These two women have put this story together, and they're just soaring through the marketplace and really having a blast with it. So I want you to tune in at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night to BBS to Paradigm Shifters and listen to the experience of the rising intuitive in this day and age. I think you'll really enjoy that. And then Thursday, I'm taking Thursday night off because they're going to have a special radio show in Bellingham and I want to go to it. But in any case, I'm going to rerun Lonnie Leary's interview on death. Her book is called No One Has to Die Alone. And, oh boy, it's a really poignant, very clear and compassionate report on how all the different ways you can work with the dying and how much difference it makes. And then, of course, I'm adding the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying in my own world and finding that the depth, my guides talk about this sort of thing all the time, but it's really nice to read a book that a lot of people are reading because it helps the collective grow. But the depth of our soul and the journey and so on is really touched through the process of dying. They even talk about the beings who clear themselves from any attachments or aversions so well that when they die, and they take, those people are very, very conscious, and when they die, they take like 7 or 8 days on their very own, and then when you go back in to find, to bring the body out, all that's left is nails and hair, because they have absolutely disintegrated through the ability to release all attachment to the physical form. And I gather how they talk there. We're talking about the light coming through from the great central sun and so on. What I gather is in these discussions about death that are very well written, that our light is so tremendous if we can let it reign versus all of our identities, all our identifications with our personality stuff or family stuff or experience stuff and so on, then we have the ability to really poof, like really poof open, and I guess you could say burn yourself up from the inside out. Very interesting stuff. So the rest of this, let's see, nobody's going to phone in, I guess. So my name is Veronica Entwistle. I am an intuitive and energy counselor, and I love hearing from you guys about these interviews, and I hope somebody will call in or talk to me about the interviews with Lonnie Leary and with Tara Taylor and Lorna Nicholson. And at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking to Jackie Silvitti and her team, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. I've been working with Jackie for many years on this show, but this is my last night on that show, and because it's time for me to move on and do some different things, so I'll be in touch with you about that. But if you have questions for Jackie for ET Healing, you can send them to me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com, and I'd like to see you at the top of the hour. So hang in there and stay tuned if you can. Again, it's Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. And if you've got any feedback on this show or any of the shows that I've done so far, or if you'd like a session with me and my own guides and angels, write to me. Let me know how you are, what's up. Good night. Thank you for listening.